Speaker John Boehner said today that his Republican-led House would vote down the short-term bill passed by the Democratically-led Senate, the bill that would extend payroll tax breaks and unemployment for 2 months. House Republicans were initially against any extensions. Now they want it extended a full year. We're going to hear more about today's debate later. But meanwhile, Columbia University economist Jeffrey Sachs says a pox on both houses. Instead of a race to the bottom on taxes, he says, how about levying a 1% tax on the net worth of Americans above $5 million? That would net around $150 billion, he says. Or how about ending mortgage tax deductions on vacation homes? Sachs says the chipping away on taxes since the Reagan era has caused the U.S. to unilaterally cede its global leadership in education, science, and infrastructure. He is director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University. His new book is The Price of Civilization, Reawakening American Virtue and Prosperity. And he joins us now. Professor Jeffrey, thank you.
Ah, it's my pleasure to be with you.
So let me guess where you stand on this payroll tax extension. 2 months, a year, not at all.
Isn't it strange that we went through this debate, the super committee, about cutting the budget deficit, then the very next day the president started the campaign to cut taxes, to continue these tax reductions. In fact, we have a massive budget deficit. We have a massive deficit of spending on crucial needs in this country, education, higher education, preschool, rebuilding an infrastructure that's 50 years out of date. We're slashing science and technology programs right now. We're not investing in renewable energy. But we have a kind of inbuilt populism of both political parties right now to continue to cut taxes. And we're at the lowest level of tax collections in our modern history at the federal level, 15% of national income.
Okay.
But we can't pay our bills.
Well, but hold on, just because this gets confusing, you know, because
know.
We just heard from economic historian James Livingston a couple weeks ago. He makes the argument that in a time of recession, near depression, and during the depression, the idea is to get money into the hands of consumers, spending. And one way to do that is to have these temporary tax breaks. The White House saying that without this payroll extension, 160 million Americans would see their take-home checks cut by 2% percentage points starting on Gen 1. That's when this 4.2% payroll tax, which is, you know, the break, would go back to 6.2%. So what about that thinking, that the idea is short-term, get money into the hands of consumers?
If you want to get money used properly in the economy, the government should be indeed spending more on preschool, on education, on helping our kids finish college degrees rather than drop out of school, on rebuilding infrastructure.
But in the short term?
And of course in the short term. But the problem with this country is that everything is only short term. So now we're in the fourth year of this administration, or going into the fourth year. There's never been a long term. Everything is short term for both political parties. So we never made a plan. We don't have a trajectory. We don't have a sense of where we're going. We're actually down from 2 year stimulus to 1 year stimulus to 2 month stimulus. We're driving ourselves mad with this incredible short termism, and we have no strategy.
And as you say, there really rarely is a short term. I'm thinking of the Bush era tax cuts.
Well, the problem is the following. The president wanted shovel-ready projects, and then found out that you can't build a modern 21st century country with a shovel and with shovel-ready projects. He had to acknowledge that after a couple of years. We said we were going to have a two-year stimulus, but it stimulated very little, and it wasn't a bridge to anything. So the third year, we had to do it again, and now we're entering the fourth year, and they want to do it again. But now we're going to go through an entire administration without a plan that gets beyond the very, very short term. And the long-term rebuilding of America isn't the sum of very short-term actions taken at desperate moments at the last days of Congress in these breathtaking moments, whether this summer or now before the end of the year. So neither side has a strategy. And my point is that a decent country and a decent economy requires skills, requires education, requires job training, requires modern infrastructure, and we have to learn to pay for that again.
We're talking with economist Jeffrey Sachs, who says, get rid of it entirely. We should be raising taxes. Taxes are the price of civilization. That's also the price of civilization is also the title of his new book. And Jeffrey, let's pick up where we were. You say that this sort of race to the bottom, as you call it, who can lower taxes the most, is especially interesting when you look at the states. You say that the red states that are leading the way and sort of talking about chipping away at taxes and at government programs and big government are, you know, the ones that would cut off their own livelihood if taxes are, you know, extremely lowered or government shuts down.
The poorer red states receive a lot more in government programs than they pay in taxes, whereas the blue states, ironically, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, home to a lot of billionaires, pay much more in taxes than they receive in federal government outlays. So our politics is upside down. Of course, this reflects a longstanding antipathy of the South to the federal government. But the fact of the matter is that if we went through with these policies, it would be the southern states who would find themselves devastated. Now, I think two things really need to be emphasized. One is the incredible social crisis in this country. The Census Bureau last week released shocking new data showing that one in two Americans now, one in two, lives in a low-income setting. This is unbelievable for a country that prides itself on the middle class, and that's across all the different ethnic groups. This is a catastrophe. And second, when I speak about higher taxes, please be sure I'm talking about taxes on the rich. We have a country that fights taxes for millionaires and billionaires, shockingly, and it's the middle class, the working class, and the poor who suffer, but who often are led by the kind of propaganda of our political system to fight taxes, not hearing that the proposal is to tax corporations and to tax the top 1%. For example, as you mentioned, the tax on net worth of households with more than $5 million would raise 1% of national income and enable our kids to get through school. Now, we shouldn't have the average people fighting that kind of tax. We should have them supporting it so that we can get on with a normal country once again.
Well, and you point, your book is chock-a-block with graphs and polls and a lot of statistics, including that, you know, Americans are largely for this.
Americans are for taxing the rich. Of course, the things that are quoted back to America often are, do you want your taxes raised? No. Taxes on the rich? Yes. But our politicians don't do it. First of all, they are millionaires, our politicians. Congress is filled with millionaires. The White House is filled with millionaires. We find out more and more they're simply self-serving. They're in business for themselves. They're using insider trading. They're cashing in. They're cashing in as lobbyists when they leave office. And, of course, they look to the rich for their campaign contributions, to hire their family members and all the rest. We've become a kind of plutocracy in this country. And the rich have gotten richer, wealthier than imaginable ever before in our history. It rivals the days just before the Great Depression, the inequality of income that we have. And yet we can't break this, even though the public wants it to be broken, because the politics is so corrupt in Washington.
Well, and Jeffrey Sachs, we just have a couple minutes left here, but, you know, how does this shift? I mean, you know, your critics Republican Representative Paul Ryan say that this is just the old language of class warfare. You've heard this all. It's old criticism from enemies of capitalism. But he also says you point to countries in Europe which have much higher taxes than the U.S. and point out how they have, you know, much better lifestyles. But he says this is the exact wrong time in history to point to Europe. So what are you pointing at?
Paul Ryan is a typical politician on the payroll of billionaires who does their bidding. And when it came time to bail out Wall Street, there was Paul Ryan first and foremost saying, we got to bail out Wall Street.
But just make your point about what are you? I mean, you're certainly not pointing to Greece.
No, but I'm pointing, first of all, to our own normal history when we weren't catering to the rich as we do today. But I'm also pointing to the great successes of countries of Northern Europe like Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Norway, which exceed us in life expectancy, in vacation time, in the quality of life, in lower unemployment, lower budget deficits, higher educational attainment, higher social mobility on every dimension. these countries are out competing us right now and making a normal society, not a society that's deeply divided between a small super rich who runs politics as they do in Washington now, and a large, increasingly poor country that's falling more and more into low income.
Economist Jeffrey Sachs, the director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University, making the case for raising taxes and not debating how long we extend tax breaks. In his new book, The Price of Civilization, he says, the price of civilization is just that, paying for it. Jeffrey, Professor Sachs, a pleasure as always. We'll have you back. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.